So the language and the website and the intent of it shouldn't be just directed just at the care recipient. It should also be about reassuring the son or the daughter or other family members who may actually be the ones making the buying decision.
Absolutely, 100% correct.
Welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast, the show that's dedicated to helping age and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry.
Welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast. I'm Michael Peachy, Executive Director of WNL Mobile Healthcare Services. Now, look, it's no secret that the My Aged Care website is being promoted as the start point to access Australian government-funded services. So earlier today, I went onto the portal and I typed in the postcode for the CBD of one of the major cities in Australia. And this is what I found. The first organisation, I clicked on their website for a residential aged care facility, and the tagline of their website says, "The care that comes to you. Let us help you stay independent, at home, and living life to the fullest." The second website, "Account suspended. Contact your hosting provider for more information." The third website, "Under construction." The fourth website, "This was a good website." Based on those four, straight away, I know where I would want to move into or who I'd want to contact for my mother or father. The next website, well, this one took me to the homepage of the organisation, which is a Australia-wide national organisation with, you know, a lot of sites. So I would have to go digging again through this website, type in my postcode again, etc. The next website, on the homepage, what's most prominent is it says, "Want to know more about working, volunteering, and accessing services." So what does make a good website? Well, today we're joined by Greg Beasley, Director of Pounce Digital. We talk about the five things an aged care organisation's website needs if you want to make it easier for potential care recipients to find you and ultimately get looked after by you. But if you're not interested in just having the bare minimum, we also go beyond this and we talk about the types of content you should aim to include based on the customer value journey. So just to make it clear, even though we're talking about websites and digital marketing, this isn't a technical episode. This is an episode for anyone who cares about the occupancy of their aged care organisation and you want to do a sanity check on your own website to make sure that people can find you. So without further ado, here is Greg Beasley from Pounce Digital. Welcome, Greg, to the Aged Care Executive Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
My pleasure.
Happy to be here.
Just so our listeners who haven't come across you before gain a bit of understanding with regards to your experience in the online world and aged care, can you just give a bit of a summary regarding your background and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. You can probably tell by my accent that I'm originally from the US. I'm from Philadelphia, and I came out to good old Australia almost 24 years ago. And at the time, I was involved in a very different world with business process outsourcing. But having said that, it did have some very similar themes around, you know, the different processes regarding sales and marketing. So I've been in sales and marketing for, you know, well over 25 years. And I guess I'm probably giving away a bit of my age as well. But, you know, I have always enjoyed that mix of, you know, business and relationships. And, you know, for the past 10 years, I have been involved in the aged care industry. I was a partner with a executive recruiting firm, and I then sort of transitioned into, you know, a sales and marketing role with a software company called Lead Care Solutions.
Great. And now I understand that you're now involved in helping aged care organizations with their online presence. What does that currently entail?
Well, we specialize in smart website design and marketing strategies. And it's really about allowing business leaders to regain control, grow their business, and save time. And that's really the basis of what we do through, you know, smart website design and marketing strategies.
Excellent. Now, since the My Aged Care portal has become a thing and there's a requirement for all aged care organisations to transparently advertise their prices for rooms and so forth, it's safe to say that, you know, 99.9% of the industry now has a website. Flicking through the portal today, though, many of these websites have really just ticked the box and met that minimum standard. Based on your experience, what are the sort of things that an aged care organisation should have on their website as a minimum on top of just what they're required to from a regulatory perspective?
Well, you're really touching a nerve of mine, because it's really disappointing, you know, to see some of the sites that go up, because from a very basic and most primitive mindset, that there's no business that can exist without marketing. And, you know, essentially, if no one knows you're out there, you know, there's five things really that every website should include. And it really comes down to, you know, why some websites don't create sales. And it really comes down to one major question: do your customers understand your message? And at Pounce Digital and WeCare, we work with many business and brands, and it's essential for us to help them clarify their message. And I think, you know, from the perspective of simplicity, there's a few suggestions that I generally make with my clients, and that will increase their sales and create raving fans of their business. And most importantly, help them stop losing to the competition.
From this perspective, increasing sales is about making your organization attractive to potential care recipients or their families to make them want to enter the home.
Absolutely, 100%. And therein lies the question about really understanding and having a clear message in terms of who your target audience is and what the purpose of your website, you know, should be. Because, you know, websites have, you know, changed dramatically in terms of their purpose over the last 5 years. You know, they're no longer a storehouse for information. You know, now they're more of a supplement to a broader marketing campaign. And it's got to be simple, and it's got to be compelling. And, you know, it should really complement your overall brand. So I think that is, you know, certainly something that really needs to be identified early in the piece.
Great. Now, you mentioned a moment ago that there's, you know, at least five things that should be on each website. What would they be?
Okay. Yeah. Well, first off, I guess I think one of the most important, and it's the very first thing a website needs, is really easy to understand tagline. You know, and I mentioned earlier about, you know, websites, you know, where the purpose has changed for a website over the past 5 years. You really need to have an easy to understand tagline so that, you know, it's complementing your overall, you know, brand. You know, again, it's got to be really simple.
You made a good point about the tagline. One that comes to mind of a organization that makes it nice and clear to the audience who they're catering for is one in Adelaide that talks about great care with European flair. And so it's quite obvious the demographic that they're trying to market to is from a specific ethnic background.
Absolutely. And that is a prime example of it being simple and compelling. And of course, you can definitely tell that it's aligned to their overall, you know, brand strategy, which is to attract that European market. One of the things behind that concept about, you know, making it easy to understand is, too often, business owners can get, you know, caught up in their own language, in their own narrative. And it's really important that when you're developing a website and, you know, you have that concept of, you know, simplicity, that you've got to really avoid what we call the curse of knowledge. You know, people don't want to hear how much you know about your business. They want to know exactly what it is that you're doing for them.
Great.
One of the other things that, you know, we talked about five things. You need an obvious call to action. You know, I noticed there's a lot of sites today that don't have a clear and obvious call to action. And, you know, I was on a site last week. I'm getting some work done at my home for the retaining wall that I'm getting built. And I was on the site and I saw, you know, this site that had this beautiful gallery, great pictures and images, tons of images, and it was amazing. And I was actually really interested, but I couldn't actually find out how to connect with them. And I went to the next one in the list, and it wasn't as flashy, but they did have some, you know, they did have some quality images up, and it really looked, you know, appealing. But the first thing that I saw was this big orange button that said schedule an appointment, and I'm busy. You know, I got a lot of things going on. So that was what I clicked. And I sort of felt like, you know, the better site, more beautiful site didn't win out. The one that was most effective did, because it really, you know, garnered my attention.
Gotcha. So a good aged care organization or home care organization should have a nice, big, obvious button.
Yeah, speak to our tour guide, book a tour.
Find out vacancies, et cetera.
Yeah, schedule a tour.
Gotcha.
Just a nice, clear call to action. And it's something that's so obvious that it's too hard to, you know, de-identify with.
Great. Well, there are a couple of, you know, obvious items so far. That's good.
I guess if you're looking at something else that is really, really, you know, critical, is that you've got to lead with your number one, you know, revenue stream. I guess for a more general perspective in aged care, you know, if you have 500 ILUs and 21 residential beds, you've got to really make sure that you're understanding where your core revenue stream is, and that's what you should be leading on your homepage. You know, I had an example of a client that I helped out, that very similar situation where they had all of the information about particular service they provided, which was, you know, 30% of their revenue, and it was tucked deep into their site. So we made a couple of simple changes, moved it to the front page on a banner with a call to action button, and they improved their conversion rate by 20%. So it's really important to just, you know, to display, you know, success that a client will also experience with your service or product. You know, remember, you know, website is not about your company. You know, use lots of images to tell a story, you know, what life will really be like when, you know, a potential customer purchases or, you know, takes up your services. And that's why it's also really important to know who your customer is, because particularly in the aged care, we're really talking about, you know, making sure that we are identifying with our, you know, residents, sons or daughters or brothers or sisters who are, you know, managing their loved one into the aged care home. So you combine that with a lot of images of people who have tension relieved, your customers are more likely to seek out your expertise or your service.
So the language in the website and the intent of it shouldn't be just directed just at the care recipient. It should also be about reassuring the son or the daughter or other family members who may actually be the ones making the buying decision.
Absolutely, 100% correct. Because, you know, with the acuity levels of the residents today, they're not exactly picking up the phone and booking themselves into an aged care home. That's being done on their behalf by their sibling. I mean, by their you know, children or, you know, other family members. So I don't know who we're talking to and whose problem we're solving. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes complete sense. So we've got the tagline.
Yeah.
We've got the call to action.
Yep.
We've got the products and services we're trying to promote easily visible, not buried on the third page or 10 links deep. And
yeah, and I guess another one that I would focus on is a website should really break down products and services into bite-sized categories. And, you know, one of the common questions we get is, you know, how do we clearly communicate what we do when we have a lot going on or a lot of different products or a lot of different services. So, you know, you can't list all of your products on your main page because people get bogged down and, you know, people don't like as much choice as we really think. So we've got to look at, you know, breaking it down into bite-sized categories, really breaking up some of the text and using a bit more white space. And again, you know, you've got to feature your dominant product. You got to ask yourself the questions. Can you categorize? Can you simplify the offer and dominant streams of revenue? And if so, you know, you'll create a site that doesn't overwhelm people.
Gotcha.
And probably the last thing one thing that you definitely need to focus on, which has sort of been a theme that we've carried through in this short discussion, but you should be clear in the communication, you know, of your customer persona, you know, of your target audience. You know, you've got to have a really, really clear communication strategy for your target audience, you know, and that's really important because combining that strategy with your customer persona and, you know, your customer, you know, journey is really the key because that's, you know, essentially that's where the marketing begins and ends.
That makes complete sense. So I guess once we've got those key elements nailed down, in terms of the content on the website, I guess we want people to understand what it is exactly that we do. So would you recommend that we, you know, have a whole heap of content on there that clearly highlights what we do, or what approach would you take to the content?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned something called the customer value journey a few seconds ago, and that's really where it's got to start, you know, because the problem is generally not going to be your products or your services. It's going to be understanding the journey that your client and your customer takes towards making a decision to do business with you. And sort of like dating, you know, you can't just come out, meet someone for the, you know, for the first time. You walk into a room, you meet someone and you say, "Hi, my name's Greg. Do you want to get married?" You know, it doesn't work that way. There's steps that you've got to take. And we do that for and assist our customers with that through the customer value journey and being able to map that because it's the ultimate filter. You know, and as I said, it's where digital marketing begins and ends. You know, the customer value journey will essentially, you know, strategically build relationships with new prospects and convert them into, you know, loyal, raving customers and advocates, which is really what you want. You know, and there's 8 stages to that process that we, you know, work with our customers to identify. Well, and if you understand the customer value journey, you know, you can intentionally engineer your business to move people predictably and profitably, you know, through the process.
So if I'm understanding correctly, that would be actually having content on there that is related to their journeys. So helping them navigate the system of understanding the ACAT process or providing content regarding.
Yeah. So I guess the easiest way to break it down and make better understanding is that there was a guy, Desmond Morris, and he is a zoologist, and he did an interesting study on mammals, and the chosen mammal was humans. And it was really about identifying the stages of intimacy and how we get to become from strangers to lifelong relationship creatures. What we've been able to do is convert that whole philosophy into an 8-stage process because the content is very difficult to produce if you don't have the roadmap for it and you don't understand the relationship because, you know, it's been proven that if you skip any one of those stages of intimacy in the humans, that, you know, you're 91% likely for that relationship to fail. So, you know, there's awareness stage where, you know, a prospect will see an ad that you have or land on your website or, you know, hears about you through a referral. And then you've got an engagement stage that, you know, is the next step where, you know, maybe they read a blog or they engage with you on your social media. And then you've got the dating stage, the first date where, you know, the prospect opts in for some content in exchange for, you know, email address that you're providing, something useful in exchange for the email. And that's, you know, would be equivalent to say, for example, you know, how about we go out for a coffee? You know, yeah, sure. Here's my number. Call me. Right. So it's really moving through those phases of, you know, the customer journey that will allow you to ensure that you're building a proper relationship that is based on value and providing people the information and the content that they want and need. So, you know, the fourth phase of that journey would be, you know, after they've opted in for some content in exchange for an email, they make a small purchase with you, or they schedule a tour at your nursing home. And, you know, when they get there, the fifth stage is that, you know, you've provided them with even more value because, you know, they've walked away with some additional information and instructions on how to, you know, apply for the room, to make it simple, or, you know, you've given them some simple instructions on how to, you know, manage their fees, or, you know, anything around that additional bit of, you know, excitement that gets them excited about being at your facility. And then, you know, that brings you to the next step of the process, which is providing them with an opportunity to take up the core offer, which is, you know, to move into that facility.
So it sounds like then if you just have your website that someone clicks through the portal and sees you for the first time, it's essentially, hey, my name is Greg, will you marry me? As opposed to making sure that they become aware of you before they need your service. And the way we're not going to do that is by plastering just, you know, a business name up on billboards. It's actually about providing content of value that they may be interested in prior to they actually needing your product or service. So they may come across you on Facebook or whatever social media platform they're using, and you may have written an article or something that resonates with them about aging in general, but not specifically about your product or service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you can't skip that step. You can't just come out and ask someone to buy, because it really puts them on the back burner, because the problem hasn't been solved yet. You know, they're not aware that you can actually help them with their problem, that you even understand their problem. And that's really, really important, because you may very well have, you know, the best nursing home in the country, but you're going to lose out time and time again because you haven't actually nurtured the relationship. And it's proven that if you provide that level of detail in nurturing the relationship by making them aware that you know, there is a problem that you can solve, and by, you know, providing them with content that actually resonates with them, that really engages them and makes them want to have, you know, more contact from you. Because, you know, look, the fact is that sales and marketing have changed. And, you know, the old days would have just been, you know, when I came here, I remember doing work with customers that were still using phone books for their salespeople to generate leads. And we obviously know that that's changed, you know. And today, 57% of the sales process is already covered. So that's how far along people are in the sales process before they engage with a salesperson. 57% along the way. And it doesn't matter if your business is offline or online, because another interesting fact from emerging platforms and Google, 97% of all purchasing decisions start on the internet, and only,
wow,
and only less than 6% finish on the internet. So that's a pretty compelling identifier in that, yeah, sales and marketing have changed, but there's one thing that hasn't changed. And that's what Desmond Morris identified, is that, you know, people, you know, humans have not changed. You still have to deal with people to people.
You mentioned the statistics about how much of the sales process starts online. There's a joke that, you know, how do you hide a dead body? you put it on the second page of Google. So you can understand why you want to have a website that isn't just clear and concise and clearly articulates your value proposition, but you also want it to be something that's easily found and something that the audience may have already found before they've actually needed it.
100%. And we know that there's a really easy way to do that, and that's through understanding the customer value journey. And it's basically the foundation for everything that we do for our clients. It always starts at that level.
Now, speaking of the roadmap, you mentioned the first step is awareness, and hopefully awareness before they need you. Now, if you're an organization and you excelled in one particular area of care, let's say it's, you know, your meals, your catering services are well above the industry standard and it's a point of pride for your organization, would you, you know, publish an article that says words to the effect of, hey, this is how good our food is at this facility, or would you approach it from a different perspective?
We would actually have our clients approach it from a slightly different perspective, in that you don't have to talk about your services. What you need to be topical on is the actual problem itself, and providing useful information that it could even be your competitors' information. That's not uncommon, but useful information that then connects with something you do by way of what we call a lead magnet. So we think that you should always integrate useful information that somehow connects to one of your offers. So that article doesn't have to be about your offer, but it needs to be in the same realm of topic. So using that catering example, you might have an article about technology that is improving menu options for residents. And then you can link one of your offers that would say, you know, we have, get this top five list of recipes at our facility. You know, that's your connection. So it's probably not the best example, but you're really just linking any one of your offers and connecting it to that subject matter.
So gotcha. I mean, I think that's a pretty good example just off the top of your head. I put you on the spot. So, I mean, you've just highlighted that rather than saying, look at me, it's actually about, here's something you may find interesting. By the way, I'm going to give you something of value. And by inference, the reader would be, wow, these guys are actually giving me something of value, but they obviously know their stuff as well.
Well, that's it. Because, I mean, ultimately, you're still dealing with, you know, three components in your essential sales and marketing funnel. And you have to be giving the type of content that makes people aware of the problem and the solution at the top of the funnel. They're still in an awareness stage where they're finding out information about the nursing homes and how meals are made and how, you know, catering is, you know, done and how activities are managed. They're still in an awareness stage. You need to be providing information that is going to be useful to help them understand and understand that you have a solution, or that you're aware of the problem, and that you have an offer that is related to that problem, to solving that problem. Because the next phase, you're really just trying to give them enough information to move deeper into your funnel and along your journey, which is evaluation. You want them to get to a stage where, all right, they've got enough information. They understand that you are aware of the problem and that you've presented a solution. And now they're ready to evaluate what you can do. And that, again, brings a different type of content that may be relevant. You know, this could be, again, where they're now engaging on your social media platforms, or they're looking at videos that you've posted. You know, this is allowing them to get just that little bit more detail and evaluate your solution. So now they've gone past, you know, being aware of your solution. Now they're ready to start evaluating it. And you're going to give them the right type of content to do that through the right channel.
And that makes complete sense. I mean, if I was a prospective purchaser of aging and community care services for one of my family members, I'd be looking at, well, what are the particular pain points that I hear about in the media about poor care, poor meals, you know, inadequate staffing numbers and so forth. I'd be Googling that.
Yeah.
And if articles came out that said, hey, here's the truth about X, Y, and Z, or here's information of value, and they seem to be repeatedly coming from one source, I'd be more inclined to, you know, click there or pick up the phone to speak to that organization first, rather than someone who's just got a shell of a website in the portal.
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, one of the common things that family members are acutely aware of is they don't want their loved ones to be in their pajamas all day long and laying in bed and no one making them active. So if that's one of the problems that they're aware of, and you're posting content about must-have activities that every nursing home should be doing with their residents, you know, that's then leading into some videos of what your nursing home does with their clients every Thursday and Friday, for example. That's how you make that connection between, you know, transitioning the client along the prospective client along your, you know, value journey, because you're providing them with relevant details for their stage of the journey. And if they're at that evaluation stage, you got to make sure that you've got the right content to evaluate for them to evaluate your product.
So, Greg, you just mentioned a moment ago about not just your website, but your social media platforms, Facebook, etc. I think that might be a good topic in itself for a second episode. But in the meantime, how can our listeners find out more about what it is you do for aging community care organizations and helping them with their online presence?
Well, you can email us at info@pouncedigital.com.au. Go and visit our website. And I think, you know, look, one of the things that I will say, and it's probably the most important thing that I'll say all night, is that, you know, a lot of nursing homes have a lot of different projects and a lot of things that they're trying to do. It can get really cloudy because, you know, they go to a lot of conferences, they see a lot of magazines, just gurus all over the place. But if there was probably one piece of advice that I could give, and it would be really, really simple in terms of, you have to start with one thing. You know, you have to stop starting projects. Starting a project and getting shiny object syndrome, and then, you know, jumping into something else before you finish the first project. The one offer that I have is that, you know, we have a process that we go through. And it's called the, you know, 73-point checklist. And I would like to sit down with anyone and go through these 73 things so that together we can pick the one thing that you probably should be working on. And you can work on it with me or my team or for your own to get that one thing done. But if all I ever do for you is help you pick that one, you know, bridge that you should be working on now, you know, maybe the second or third, then I feel like, you know, I can provide tremendous, you know, value and service. And I think that's, you know, would make me happy that we've even met.
Excellent. Well, Greg, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, appreciate it. I'm happy to help.
I've learned a lot, as I'm sure our listeners will. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Aged Care Executive Podcast. What drives us is knowing that we're providing content to help aged and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your colleagues. Don't forget to hit subscribe. It's free. And also leave us a review. 5 stars, hopefully, but if not, that's okay. But please, leave a comment and let us know what we can do better, or if there's any particular topics you'd like to hear about. If you'd like to connect with us or have any questions, you can find us on LinkedIn and Facebook at the Aged Care Executive Podcast.